following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Glad to see you all. Man, oh man. Last week, I didn't get a chance to finish the message, and we moved the whole schedule back. And so I got tonight, and then next week, you know, of course, enjoy that time either with your kiddos, grandkids, or with your mom, or remembering your sweet mamas. And so I know every Mother's Day is a it's a sweet time for me, because I have an incredible wife who is the mother of our four children, and I get to just, you know, we get to just love on her. And it's also a bittersweet time because I miss my sweet mama who went with the Lord in 2018. And after 12, 13 years of ongoing battles with rheumatoid arthritis, ruptured disc in her back, and developed sepsis whenever after a procedure. We lost her in 2018 at the young age of 67. And so, we look back at life and we're just so thankful. I'm just thankful for a mama who prayed. Prayed for her young children, prayed for her grandchildren, and loved the Lord. So this evening we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, wrapping up the second half of the first 13 verses. So we'll be in verses 8 through 13. Yesterday or last Sunday evening, we began this conversation talking about the weighty work to serve the Lord from the positions that he has given within our entrusted identity. And we spent some time speaking about the first half of the first seven verses of chapter 3 that spoke about the role of elders and the role of pastors, right? And so when we consider the word elder and pastor and overseer, the Greek mentions the ongoing different terminology, all mentioning the same function, and at the same time, the need for us to have healthy elders in the body, healthy pastors in the body. And this evening, I want us to spend some time considering also the qualifications and the needs for healthy deacons. I don't know if you know that there is a need, no matter what church that you're in, no matter where you're a part of, there's always a looking out to see who's next. Amen. There's always this reminder that there's got to be, or there should be within the body, the reminder of who is in the office and a reminder of who is to come in the office. We should always be looking to develop our leaders. As I read this quote last week, I want to read this again because I believe this kind of sets the stage for the posture that I would say that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, right? He's speaking about this need to pray in chapter 2. You know, let that be our first focus as we position ourselves for prayer. Let us be mindful of the positions of men and women within the body. Then he goes to the leadership structure of the church and talks about the role of the pastor. And then he finds himself looking at the role of a deacon. But this quote from Leonard Ravenhill says, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers, many players and payers, few prayers, many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers, many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters." In our day and age, we need fighters. We need men and we need women to be bold in what the biblical call is to step up and lead. And so when I consider the text, as the text in the first seven verses speak about the role of an elder as male leadership, the next few verses speak of the identified role of a deacon. Elders, you see, are servant leaders, and deacons are leading servants. And to understand the two, it's important for us to know that, look, every church will look different on one hand, but you will be able to distinguish two. And so when you see the passage, the Apostle Paul writes at the beginning of verse 8, he says this, and I'll pray afterwards and then we'll unpack the text. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives, too, must be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes in this setting, Lord, to realize that this does affect each and every single person that's in this room. Lord, because leadership matters. And because leadership matters and it matters to you, it should matter to us. And because of that, Father, help us to raise up the next generation of deacons. Help us to look at our body and call out and love on the leadership that you've entrusted us with. And to be faithful, Lord, to what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, looking at the text, just a simple reminder, because pulling from the same main idea is simply this. Church leadership affects every follower of Christ. Church leadership affects every follower of Christ. The Bible, as we see, the Bible identifies two primary leadership roles, right? Elders who are servant leaders, deacons who are leading servants. Why? Well, when you consider this, church leadership is designed by God, as mentioned last week, to be a display of God's glory. I don't know about you. I want to display. I want to see God's glory. I want to see God magnified. When we are to be as the bride of Christ, as we're called to be, the glory of Christ is displayed in the beauty of his bride. And his bride is the church. And because of that, the church should be a visual display of God's glory. And when we see this, that we need to be mindful, we need to be alert, we need to be dependent on the gospel, we need to look at the characteristics as the Apostle Paul lays out. As you remember, he is speaking to his protege Timothy about what it means to plant churches, what it means to go around and encourage the church to raise up leaders, to preach the word, to equip the saints. We know that the role of a deacon is essential to that aim as well. It's essential to that aim because as the Apostle Paul kind of alludes to, as he speaks about it, he talks about the need. What happens if a church imitates the leader of an elder? Well, in his personal life, is he self-controlled? Is he wise? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Right? Those are the roles. And when you consider a deacon, right, the characteristics, is he a friend of strangers in his spiritual life? Is he making disciples of all nations? Is he a man of prayer? Is he holy? Is he gracious? But when we see in verse 8 to 13, the role of a deacon, what is a deacon to be? Who is a deacon? Well, I want to pinpoint three responsibilities of a deacon as unpacked in this text. In verse 8, there's this turn from elders to deacons. The responsibilities of deacons are not as clear as that of an elder, and yet it is laid out here. It's written here. Where can we see this? Well, the picture of what we have in the early church is oftentimes recorded in the book of Acts. Right, Acts chapter 6, we see a form of the word for deacon, right? We see the same word used to describe one of the tasks of the elders as in Acts chapter 6 verse 4. The fact that deacons aren't highlighted in the New Testament may be one reason that we've got a variety of different opinions about the role of deacons. There's some people at times who misconstrue or misguide what a deacon is to do. Even though we know what the characteristics are of what they should model and look like, the question then becomes, what are they to do? Well, it should be said, even in our day today, that there are some churches who have unbiblical practice of when it comes down to deacons. And if there are some things we don't know for sure about deacons, what are the things we do know? That's what we want to unpack. Well, the word, when you consider deacon, in the Greek, diakone, is used more than 100 times in the New Testament. So it should matter. Always referring to some form of ministry or service. And when you consider that, it's the same word that's used in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to refer to the work of ministry. The responsibility, which is the responsibility of all the membership of the church, right? But ultimately, deacons are commanded to be servants. And at the same time, the early church gives us a brief glimpse of who led out in service in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, in those days, right? When you consider all of the disciples that were multiplying, there were complaints that were there by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews about the widows who were being overlooked in the food distribution. As they were being overlooked, the 12 disciples or the 12 that was summoned, there's a group of 12 that was summoned, the whole company of the disciples, and they said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle the financial matters and the situations that's going on. So the brothers select from you among 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry. And that proposal pleased everyone. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Permaeus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. And so the preaching about God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Why was this able to happen? Because the deacons stepped up. Because the servants step up. A form of the word for deacons is used 3 times in verses 1 through 4 and verses 1 through 2 of Acts 6. The terminology is applied to those who are responsible for leading others. That's why we can say they're leading servants. They're the ones who model what it means to serve. They're the ones who model what it means to take initiative. They should be the ones who model, in a sense, what it means to serve the church. And yet we also know that deacons are not the only ones to serve the church, because it's an all membership hand. Deacons lead the church in service. They're leading servants. It's interesting that a form of the word describing how they handle different situations, including financial matters, are mentioned. They also refer to the apostles' ministry of the word. And so when you consider this, what do they do? Well, in the mind of some Christians, deacons are those who meet together, sit in the front of the church, and talk poorly about the pastor. That's not true. That is unbiblical, right? And so we need to take an honest look. What is described, and of course, they're going to be described in 1 Timothy 5. We'll see some of that, right? We can look at the responsibilities in Acts chapter 6 and see all the things going on and the circumstances that church is growing, the resources are spreading, and we see in this reality that these deacons, in order to carry out God's commands, which reflect his own heart, deacons must be willing to serve. There should be a heart in that to serve. A deacon who leads a parking team enables the church to obey the biblical command to meet together. everyone, when you consider the role of a deacon, should look to a deacon and say, ah, where can I serve? And the direction should be there. Right? When we consider Acts chapter 6, when there was this ongoing need for food and this ongoing situation of prayer and the proclamation of the word, the mission of the church was suffering, and so the deacons were appointed to free up the apostles' availability for the preaching of the word. The church needs individuals who are devoted to both of these tasks. We need to see that deacons serve elders so that they can lead. I'm thankful within my body, our body at Emmanuel, I've got 8 guys who I can call on at any given time. And they will step up. Actually, 9 now. We have one that recently is joining in the fold. But the way that we navigate this is when God calls a man, and we see that in a man, and our deacons identify, hey, you're doing the role of a deacon. The eyes begin to watch that brother over time and see what he's doing. And over the years, we get to see, is that continuing? For no other reason than simply because he wants to serve. And then, few of the deacons, every year we gather and we say, who's next? Is there anyone among the body that is a leading servant? Is there anyone among the body who we can see these qualifications in? And over the last year, we say, hey, there's this guy. He's been doing this for 3 years. Let's bring him alongside. Let's walk with him. Let's see what it means. And I would say, according to the text, it says they must be tested first. And so we take that to mean, hey, we're going to have that person come alongside. And so today in our leadership meeting, he came alongside for the first time. We're going to see what it's going to look like. Historically, the way that's been done is over a period of 2 years. He walks with the body. He walks with the leadership. He walks with the deacons. He sees the meetings. He sees what's going on. He navigates the terrain of dipping into the waters of what it means to be in the ministry. And then we see, is he proven? And then at the end of it all, we consider the brother. We ask the question, did God call you to this? Or did you just want this? And it's an interesting question to ask. Because what we start to learn is that those who endure, we hear this proverbial statement most of the time. I'm unworthy, but I know I can't do anything else because God's called me to this. And through the years, we see what this is about. We see this has been cultivated over time. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we've seen various traditions of when it comes to the role of the deacons. Deacons have assumed the role of being supervisors of the staff and the pastor, and that's not the role. The role is, and the two offices, as we consider what it means to be a Baptist, right? The two offices, pastor, deacon, those two offices lead, encourage one another, push each other along, and challenge the church to move forward. The deacons in Acts 6 are serving fundamentally as supporters, encouragers of the elders in the ministry of the word. The third responsibility of deacons is that they unify the body around the word. Let me go back to it. The first is simply the deacons meet needs according to the word. The second is that the deacons support the ministry of the word. The third is that deacons unify the body around the word. We are, regardless of who we are people of the book. And here's the truth in that. There are needs met throughout Acts chapter 6. There's needs that are met all over the place. Physical neglect in Acts 6 was causing spiritual disunity. And the Christians were beginning to complain against one another, and deacons were appointed to stop the tension and the rising disunity in the church. Think about that. Worthy of respect, not hypocritical, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Prove blameless. Then they could serve as deacons. Level-headed. Worthy of respect should also be the wives, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. A good manager of one's home. And for those who serve will acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. These deacons, they unify the body around the word. When you think about it, the typical association of deacons in the 21st century church at times can be all about disunity, gossiping, and complaining. But in the scriptures, deacons labor to promote unity in the church. They are what we might call the shock absorbers. When I consider our body and our structure of leadership within our group of pastors, we also have these deacons, and we see so many times there's a love to meet needs. Just the other day, even though I'm not going to mention him by name, but one of our deacons ran across some people, house burned down right near him, and they were in need. And so what did he do? What anyone would do, and anyone should do. He met the needs. He helped out. He encouraged them in the word. He shared the gospel with them. You see, when you consider this, deacons labor to promote unity. And when you consider also, it keeps the focus on the proclamation of the word for the pastors, for prayer, for laboring together, for spending time with one another, and accountability. When we consider 1 Timothy 3:18, alongside the discussion of Acts 6, there is this reality in these verses. A main qualification, and I'll just kind of make it broad. The first is this: there must be a missional mindset. A missional mindset. The church, as the church grew in the early part of Acts, the church needed leaders who would embrace the mission that God has given them. This is why deacons can't be small-minded individuals that's worried about turf wars, maintaining their rights or lobbying their own causes. It has to be for a greater picture than themselves. When you consider what it means to be a leading servant, to see the mission of the church and the work to help others understand that mission, that every facet of their ministry is part of this overarching mission. What is the mission? Right? We talked about the Great Commission, right? Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to admonish everything I have commanded. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age, right? That's the Great Commission. When we consider Jesus' words right before he's ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father, what is it that Jesus leaves his disciples with? Right? You will receive the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The church is on a mission to make the gospel known in all nations. We are on a mission to see that why the adversary delights in turning the church of Jesus Christ inward on itself. At every turn, Satan doesn't have the last word. Satan loves seeing the church embroiled in battles over this or that issue. And yet in such cases, deacons may be called in to absorb the shock. There's been many times in my small tenure, I say small tenure, at Emmanuel, where I've seen the shock absorbers come. Just in the nick of time. But nonetheless, that's why God called them there. And as God has called them there, it's been of great benefit to us to keep our eyes on the mission moving forward. You see, churches can get so engrossed in catering to every complaint that the primary mission gets lost. And if pulling away from the mission, it's important for us to be mindful. Look, deacons must have a Christ-like character. That's what the text says. Scripture doesn't give us a lot of detail regarding what deacons do, but it does make clear the character of them. If you look at it, what stands out about these qualifications is that they are similar to what we would expect of any Christ follower. Anyone that's in this room. That's why it matters, right? Because we're saying that, yes, there is a level of being above reproach and seeing the bigger picture, but there is a characteristics of every single person that's in this place that should be carrying the Christ-like character. Deacons are quite simply intended to exemplify the character of Christ. If you think about it, is this person honorable? Is this person genuine? Is this person self-control? Is this person a sacrificial giver? Is this person devoted to the word? Is this person faithful? Not perfect, right? But morally pure. Is this person honoring Christ in the home? After saying that deacons must be worthy of respect, they must have certain qualifications, characteristics. Paul then went on to say the following verses. Hey, wives, don't forget about you too. So deacons and their wives have to display Christ-like character. Given what we've seen about elders and deacons, what does this look like? Well, it's important to point out, servant leaders, the church appoints and follows servant leaders who are wholeheartedly committed to accomplishing the mission of God. We know the church affirms and honors leading servants who use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. Variety of ministries within the church carried out by both men and women. And yet we know that as these servants are called, depending on the church, these roles look different. We know that the church cannot do one thing with just men. Let me just put it point blank. Amen, ladies. Thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful to have you back, Sylvia. I'm so thankful for a pianist who's one. Thank you. I'm so thankful for ladies who teach and pray. Like, we can't do this without you. And yet, at the same time, as deacons say, hey, we need help here, we need help there, right? They take that initiative. And guess what? The church altogether steps up. The church rises up. The church does what needs to be done. No one is exempt from being a servant. No one is exempt from it, and yet at the same time, we know that Scripture calls us to know our leaders, to call them out, to honor them, to be faithful to the command that He's placed us in, to meet the needs, to support the ministry of the Word, to unify the body of Christ, right? To be people about the Word, and together all members of the church are to minister in order to see the multiplication of the gospel throughout our neighborhoods and among the nations. So whether you're a servant leader, whether you're a leader servant, or just a servant, the task is clear: to bring glory to God. And the question really for all of us is, am I bringing glory to God with my life? Do I see the order in place? Do I understand that the bride of Christ has an order and a structure to itself that is meant to be honored and at the same time meant to be followed? So what happens when there is not that in the church? Well, I'm oftentimes reminded that there's more than anything. It goes back to the first part of the text of chapter 2, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made to everyone. God, answer our prayers. God, let me get on my knees and pray for faithful stewards and leaders to step up and be risen up. Are we bringing glory to God with our life? If so, remain steadfast. If not, we're called to repent from the standpoint of surrender, right? We're called to ask the Lord, Lord, will you provide? God, will you meet our needs? Not for just because we can have these people around, but because of the need for the greater mission of God to be met and accomplished. One of the ongoing questions that we always get is whether or not what I do matters. It does matter, friend. It matters, brother, sister. All throughout, most of the songs that we listened to tonight focused on the glorification of Christ. And I actually preached on Romans 8:28, right, this morning. And it's just that reminder, right, that we are longing. We are all awaiting the day that Jesus will either come back or call us home. And we yearn for that. And yet at the same time, God has given us the breath in our lungs and the time that we have to be used mightily for the mission of God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Asking the Lord to do what only He can do in this body. To do what only He can do as we move forward. That He would raise up deacons. That he would raise up in time the men who to step up and praise God and thank God for the men who He has currently in place, who's taking the helm, who's saying, Lord, if no one else, I will. Lord, if at the end of this day, however long, short, I'm going to serve you because it's a calling. It's not just an appointment. It's a lifelong endeavor. And so let me just encourage you with this, that our God, He does work all things for the good. And the bottom line is that one day, hey, this is a season. And even in this season, guess what? He can still be glorified. So glorify Him with your life. Glorify Him with the time. In a few weeks, you guys are going to welcome in several students through these doors, kids through these doors. Serve Him with gladness. I'm looking forward to, in a few weeks, we're hosting VBS as well, actually the week before you guys. And so, and we are excited for that. But we're also prayerful for you. Matter of fact, all throughout this month, this entire area, you know, there's a sign that's out there, Auburn, and one of our prayer emphases that we're having this year is to pray for the 11 Morgan City neighborhood signs that's around all of Morgan City. And this month, it just so happens, it's Auburn. And so we're praying for you that the Lord would just have His way, that man, maybe, it's going to be a canvassing of, hey, getting the word out about VBS, folks flooding this place in the morning time. And even if parents just drop off their kids for the sake of the fact that they get 4 hours of freedom and peace, well, make that 4 hours of freedom and peace worth it for the kingdom, right? And so may God raise up and continue to raise up servants. Let me pray for you and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this evening. God, I'm thankful for the men and women that's in this place. And Father, I pray that, Lord, as we navigate, Lord, the call and the charge that the Apostle Paul laid out for the qualifications of deacons and the qualifications of elders, Father, that we would know that Your word is clear. And as Your word is clear, we're all still called to carry the character of Christ. And yet at the same time, God, You've ordained and put in place two offices to have in leadership for the church, Lord, that's meant to be honored, that's meant to be under your direction, under your stewardship. And Father, we pray, Lord, for guidance. We pray for clarity. God, we pray for your direction, your will, your way, that you would continue to raise up men who are leaders, leading servants to trust and lead. God, that you will continue to cultivate women who love you and want to serve you and want to honor you, Lord, with the distinct role that you call them to. Oh God, I pray for this church that, Lord, you would have your way. Lord, I pray for every soul that's in here, that, Lord, that they would seek your face. Lord, that they would ask you, Lord, for the direction, the peace that surpasses all understanding in the next steps, wherever you would take them, wherever you would lead them. That, God, no matter what happens, no matter what the direction is, that we would be still before you and trust your direction and your will and your way. God, we love you. Be with us as we go. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.